You're listening to Totten's Tom. Welcome to the Totten's Tom podcast, your Tennessee Titans podcast for the Pigskin Podcast Network. My name is Tanner Staggs, and joining me, as always, my brother Tyler Staggs. We are basically one day out from an incredible Titans performance on Monday Night Football, beating the best team before this previous week in the NFL, the Buffalo Bills, 34-31 in a game that absolutely went all the way down to the wire, all the way. And we're here to talk all about it, and we will, after Tyler lets you know how to support the podcast.
And you couldn't have said it any better. That was an amazing game last night and got the outcome that we wanted. I mean, really. But everyone, if you want to support the podcast, go check out our merch. We have shirts. I just got one of our hoodies in, and man, that thing feels warm. Haven't had a chance to wear it yet because I run a little hot, and I'm like, I'm not about to be sweating in that thing right now. Did carry it with me to the game just in case it got a little too cold. But if you want to check that stuff out, go to titans-time.myshopify.com/collections/all. Another way to support the podcast, got a little tripped up there, just make sure you're following us on, if you're listening to the audio version of it, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Again, make sure you're following. Leave us a 5-star rating. Leave us some comments. We'd love the interaction. And if you're watching on YouTube, scroll down that red subscribe button. Hopefully it's not red for some of the people that's listening. But if it is, click it. Turn it gray. Turn on the post notifications so you never miss when we upload a new video or when we go live, because we're going to try and do that some more. Had fun with that show. And leave a like on the video. Share the video with other football fans, friends, family, and leave us a comment. Let us know your thoughts on this game.
Also, make sure you're following us on social media. When we do go live, you can watch us on YouTube. You can also watch us on there as well. We had it set up on Twitter this last time. On Twitter, you can follow us at Titans_Time. On Facebook, just look up Titans Time. And then Instagram, Titans Time Podcast. Tyler, as your voice can kind of attest to, I would like for you to kind of talk a little bit about what the stadium atmosphere was like last night, because I've about it right at halftime, I FaceTimed you and I got to get a little bit of the experience for myself.
You did. I'm going to be honest. The only way I could hear you when you FaceTimed me was if I put my phone right up next to my ear. And even when I was talking back to you, because I would bring the speaker right down to, you know, my mouth, I was like, I don't know if he can hear me. Like, my voice was already almost shot at halftime, and the stadium was still just rocking. But I'll start from when we first got up into Nashville. They were not lying when they said that Nashville had been, like, taken over by Bills fans. Like, Broadway, everything. They were on party buses. I mean, just going crazy. Even had one guy say something to me like, oh, it's overwhelming, isn't it? You know, coming down here, taking over your city. So I hope he had a fun ride back to Buffalo with that L that we gave him. But for the most part, the Bills fans that we interacted with, they were nice and respectful. But
I was going to say, that's what I've heard, is that Bills fans, any fan base that you would like to take over your city, that you would like to literally come out in full force, and they're, as you told me last night, there was more Bills fans than Titans fans in the stadium.
And that may
Bills
have been,
fans are
that may
apparently
have been skewed
great.
A little bit. That, because going back and thinking about it, yes, there was a lot of Bills fans, but these ticket places, they may have been off on what they were actually
that's
showing.
That's true.
So, and even if there were more Bills fans there, like, you wouldn't have known it from how loud the Titans fans were and how much they were supporting the team. I mean, this was an atmosphere. It's Monday Night Football against what was the top team in the AFC, possibly the NFL, and they're saying that they're going to come take over your city. And Titans fans were not having it, and the Titans weren't either. But there were a couple of offensive drives where the Bills fans that were there, you would have thought that there was no home field advantage at all, because most of the time that place is pretty quiet whenever our offense is out on the field and we're letting them do their audibles and checks and all that. You know, they can get through it pretty easy. No, there were a couple times the Bills fans, I mean, it was like, you're looking around like, holy shit, this is insane. But, yeah, it was crazy. And even after the game, walking back across the pedestrian bridge, you still had Bills fans, even after taking that L, going through all of their chants and everything. And I did hear a couple Bills fans make some comments like, oh, well, if we would have won that game, like, they were basically talking about how some of the Titans fans walking across the bridge weren't still yelling and everything else. We were still doing that as we were exiting the stadium, walking over to the bridge. Some people were still doing it on the bridge. And they're like, oh, we would still be hyped, this and that. And I heard someone comment back like, yeah, but we got to get up and go to work tomorrow. Like, we're trying to wind down a little bit here. But, yeah, it was just, the atmosphere was insane in the stadium last night. Like, I need it to be like that all the time.
And hopefully it will get to that point eventually. I mean, obviously, the fan turnout and participation, all that stuff, has been on the uphill climb over the past couple of seasons, and rightfully so, as this team keeps getting better and better.
And I do want to say, as with every fan base, you do have some of the fans from opposing teams, and again, like I said, can even be the case with some Titans fans, where they're not necessarily respectful. And I'm sure there was probably some of those Bills fans there as well, you know, being on Titans Twitter and everything, see some comments about some things. But I will say, the ones we had around us,
as a whole,
The ones we had around us were respectful. Had a couple of them sitting right in front of us after the Titans got that stop, which we'll get into. They started to leave, and you know, hey, I told them, hey, hell of a game, and be careful on your way back, because they drove 12 hours to watch this game.
You wouldn't see me doing that for the Titans, I will say. I would sit on a plane.
Well, yeah.
But anyways, I mean, let's get into talking about this game some, because, I mean, you talk about the atmosphere in the stadium. I had to listen to the first half of the game on the radio. I made it home in time just to watch the second half of the game. But honestly, I don't feel like I missed out on absolutely anything, because listening to Mike Keith on the radio, especially for this game, because he was on a, I don't want to say that he was on a different level for this game, because he's great every game,
right,
but just the atmosphere of the game, you could feel it through the radio.
Well, and I know I've told my wife this and a couple other people, I can't remember if I told you or not, but this game checked off so many boxes for me. Like, I finally got to see a long Derrick Henry touchdown run, got to experience Monday Night Football against a team that, you know, was higher up and was favored to win the game, and to top it off, a Titans win in primetime.
Right.
Like, just so many boxes got checked off there.
And this was probably one of the best primetime games so far this season, if not the best.
Well, but if you think about it, all the primetime games that have been going on this year have been, like, really good.
Yeah, because it feels like there's been several that's gone into overtime.
Yep.
And, I mean, this one,
or
was
coming down to the wire,
was that close to being in overtime. But, I mean, hey, when the game started off, the Titans did start off a little bit slow.
They did. I do want to say, you know, when their first drive stalled out from our seats, and then even seeing the replay there in the stadium, because I did go back and try and watch the condensed version of the game, and you couldn't really see it in the condensed version, but the pass to AJ that was incomplete on third down on the first drive, he was being held. Like, you could clearly see, it's for everyone watching on YouTube, they're going to see me grabbing your hoodie right now. Like, that's what it was like. But
Well, you know, I will say, little tidbit here that I would not have known had I not been listening to the radio. The crew that was on the game last night is more partial to calling roughing the passer and holding penalties. I believe they said they had that specific crew had only called three pass interference calls on the season.
Well, they definitely added to that last night.
Yeah, I mean.
But, yeah, it, like you said, the Titans did start out slow, had to punt. But the thing that made the biggest difference is our defense, for the most part, we did have a couple errors, but our defense came to play. And they held the Bills to a field goal on their first drive.
Right.
Which is massive, because if you open up the game, stall out, let this team go down and score, and then you stall out again and give them the ball back, things could get bad pretty quick.
Right. And, I mean, honestly, the Titans were just very, very fortunate that the defense did come out and play the way that they did. And, honestly, just that things sort of played out in the fashion that they did, because what probably should have been 14-0 ended up only being 6-0 before the Derrick Henry touchdown, which, by the way, I hated that I was not able to actually see that. But once again, listening to it on a Mike Keith call was just a completely different experience.
I'm going to have to go find him calling that and hear it. Because I get what you're talking about with when Mike Keith is making those calls, and I can only imagine how crazy he was going with it. And before we really talk about that more, the Bills' second drive, we were able to force a punt, and I believe that's the drive where, Harold Landry was able to get a sack on Josh Allen. And we talked about it. Josh Allen only been sacked 5 times going into this game. So that was big. But getting into the Titans' next drive, I wanted to make sure we hit on this. Ryan Tannehill was not looking great.
No, he did not in the first half of this game. He did not have a great first half. And
that interception that he threw, he had Derrick Henry open, wide open on the check down. I've seen this in the condensed game because, like I said, when I'm there, I was watching him throw it downfield to Julio, and they were away from us. And I couldn't really see Henry at the time. But he had Henry open for the first down, like easily. And when he threw it down the field to Julio, he threw it more towards the middle of the field and behind Julio. If he's going to throw that ball like that, he has to put it more to his left and lead Julio up the field. If he does that, Julio has a chance to at least make a play on it versus it getting picked off.
Yeah, and I mean, in my opinion, Ryan Tannehill did not have a great first half at all, and then he made some really good plays in the second half. He made some plays that contributed, in the end, to this team being able to win this game. I think a lot of what he was able to do, probably a small bit of piggybacking off of Derrick Henry a little bit. I'm not going to give Tannehill too much props for this game because, in my honest opinion, he's not had a great start to the season. I mean, he's been obviously serviceable. He's been serviceable. But he's not had the efficiency that we've seen the past two seasons. I think that's something that's apparent. I'm not saying it's necessarily an issue yet. I mean, some of that is because of the pass protection, the way that it's been. Offensive line, all in all, I mean, considering everything, they played a really great game last night as well. But, I do agree with you about Ryan Tannehill. Don't think that he had the best game, and we would be talking about it a lot more if Derrick Henry had not done what he done.
And in the second half, like we mentioned, Tannehill did turn it around some. I seen a stat that someone put out on Twitter that I think Tannehill was 9-for-9 on his passes in the fourth quarter, which is big. It's keeping drives alive, keeping us going down the field for a touchdown.
Well, and once again, I mean, once your running back is sitting at 2 touchdowns on the game and going on his third, things tend to get a little bit easier as that defense does come up.
That is true. But after that Tannehill interception, we basically had to ask our defense to step up for us again. And they did. They were able to hold the Bills to another field goal, which I'm considering that a win.
Yeah, absolutely. In itself,
because Buffalo could have easily went down, scored a touchdown there, and been up 10-0, and then just changed the game some. And then, as you mentioned, the long Derrick Henry run. This is one of those times where the Titans offense is going to be driving away from us. And I'm not thinking about having my phone out, but I so wish I would have had my phone out recording this. And the reason I didn't is because at the start of the game, Henry was having – they were doing a pretty good job.
Well, up until this point, this specific run play, I'm sitting here thinking to myself as I'm listening, man, they really, really have Henry contained right now. I mean, if things don't open up for him, I'm really scared about the Titans' ability to move the ball on offense this game.
But Derrick Henry does Derrick Henry things, and hand him the ball, he finds the crease, and his acceleration after he got to that second level, he made his cut.
After he runs someone over.
Right. He basically hits his own blocker and the guy that his blocker is blocking, and right after that, he gets his feet back under him, and he just takes off, and you think, okay, they're going to close that gap on him before he really takes off. No, his acceleration was so good. He got down the field, and come to find out, on the next-gen stats, he hit a top speed of 21.8 miles per hour on that run, and that is the highest miles per hour for any ball carrier this year so far. And he's doing that at like 240 to 250 pounds, which is insane.
It's not fair, really, if you think about it, because, I mean, there are a lot smaller running backs that rely on their speed, not necessarily able to run people over day in, day out, that still are not reaching that type of speed.
Exactly. And him to do that as, you know, it's... I really don't know what you classify Derrick Henry as, because yes, he can be that power back. He's showing this year that he will lower his shoulder and run people over. But he also has that stiff arm, but he's also agile. It does take him a couple more steps to get up to his speed just because he's a bigger back. But, and that's what's so crazy is that Drake actually texts me. He's like, Henry doesn't look that fast, but he's outrunning everybody.
Yeah.
And, like, he keeps gaining more and more distance in between him and the guys trying to chase him down.
And, I mean, honestly, even though that was – that's the play that really broke this game open, because it was obviously 6-0 Bills at this point. Neither team was really able to get anything going. And that specific play
– just provided
really
a spark.
Honestly, it was probably a little bit to the – disadvantage of the defense, because they had to quickly come back out onto the field. And I think that is partially what led into this next thing. The Bills drive down and are able to find Stephon Diggs in the end zone for a 14-yard touchdown.
But the thing that kept this drive alive, the Titans had the Bills stopped. It was on 2nd-and-9, and Harold Landry got back to Josh Allen for his second sack. We couldn't hear what the flag was in the stadium because it got so loud again, but David Long come up and apparently hit Allen late. They had not took him to the ground yet. They were holding him up, still fighting him. In the stadium, you couldn't hear the whistle. I'm having to text people to try and find out, what is this flag that they just threw?
Well, it was a little bit of... I don't know specifically what the flag was, but it was a little bit of extracurricular activity.
They called a late hit.
From
unnecessary roughness.
David Long and something to do with his helmet. Once again, I'm listening on the radio here, so I'm literally just kind of coming from the words of Mike Keith. But they originally thought that the flag was going to be on Josh Allen for pushing away David Long's helmet, but apparently they had thought that he had done something before then to warrant a flag.
whenever I text Drake about it, asking him, because I know he's watching the game, and he said on the TV you could hear the whistle and that long came in late and hit Allen. But that could have really changed that drive. But it kept it alive, and like you said, he goes down and finds Diggs for the touchdown.
Yeah, and then things...
And Farley got hurt on that drive.
Yeah, which was honestly just, I mean, the story of the game for the Titans here. I mean, they got down at one point to three cornerbacks that were
And not have you heard about Farley's injury?
I haven't today.
Torn ACL.
Okay, so he's out.
He's out. And also, since we're talking about injuries, Cam Batson, torn ACL. He's out as well.
And then I'm assuming that we're still waiting on Taylor Lewan's concussion and to know exactly the severity of that.
Right.
But the Titans are once again in a spot that is too familiar this season, which is a very long injury list that is probably going to affect them quite a bit.
And, I mean, something that's not good is we're getting low on corners.
Yep.
I mean, we're going to have to do something there. But after that touchdown, Titans are able to go down, kick a field goal. And then you have, I believe it was Denico Autry on the Bills' next drive.
Yeah, made a great play.
Getting around the corner, hitting Josh Allen, hitting his arm, popping it up in the air. And Kevin Byard, who played another fantastic game. I mean,
he's back to the level he needs to be this season.
He's back. And he's trying to get in the end zone. Gets us back down there. And this is the Derrick Henry effect. The Titans run that read option. After Henry has that long run, you fake the handoff to him. Tannehill pulls it back. He's able to get into the end zone.
That read option I talked about that should have let one of my best bets hit, but just so happened to only be 4 yards away from the touchdown.
Yeah. But that the if there would have been a roof on the stadium, it would have blew off at that point. sorry about that. Again, voice is
I completely shy. Understand because I could hear what not only through the radio, but then through the TV once I got home. So I'm assuming you contributed to some of that, at least.
I tried.
But then, you know, coming down before halftime, the Buffalo Bills kind of took advantage of the fact that the Titans were injured in the secondary, and Cole Beasley absolutely wide open the end zone.
There was some kind of miscommunication. I don't know what it is. When I was going back and trying to watch the condensed game today, I wasn't even able to make it to that part. But from the sounds of it, it seemed like the Titans were running some type of cover two defense. And whoever was supposed to have that deep half was not there. I think I don't know if it was Jenkins. I think it got put on him. But he come across the field towards the middle of the field with the receiver that was coming across, and it just left Beasley wide open. I mean, you couldn't have asked for any easier of a pitch and catch. I mean, just to put it plainly, and the Titans did get the ball back with like 40 seconds left before half. They had three timeouts.
And for some reason, they decided not to go for anything at all.
Right. I can understand the
knowing
argument
that the Buffalo Bills were going to get the ball coming out of the half.
I mean, at this point, Buffalo was up 20-10. And looking at it, I can understand the argument from both sides. Like, you take a chance of if you're trying to throw the ball, haven't really been having success throwing the ball in the first half. What if there's a turnover? You possibly give them a chance at more points before half. So I kind of get it, but at the same time, it's like, hey, you could – possibly get down and tie this thing up.
Are you playing to not turn the ball over, or are you playing to win?
Exactly.
I mean, obviously, in hindsight, they won the game, so it doesn't really matter. But had there been a different outcome, this is something we would be talking about.
Right. And, I mean, that gets us to halftime. And since it gets us to halftime,
that kind of leads us into a little bit of a halftime for the show, where we're going to look back at our best bets presented to you by DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. If you're looking for a way to win big this week, we're going into week 7 of the NFL. DraftKings Sportsbook has got you covered. New customers can bet $5, just $5, on any NFL team to win their game. And if they win, you can win $200 in free bets. So, I mean, I'm sure there's some games this week where there's going to be some pretty clear winners. So, pretty easy to take advantage of that. If the sportsbook is not available in your state yet, DraftKings is not going to leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contest. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. And on either of these, if you want to take advantage of the sportsbook for the $200 in free bets or the free shot at millions of dollars with the Daily Fantasy Sports, all you got to do, if you're a new customer, use promo code TPPN. Once again, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code TPPN. Bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code TPPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, new customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. So now let's look back at our bets.
Titans money line this next week.
I'm sure there's some that are a little bit more of a sure bet there.
Oh, come on now.
And speaking of bad betting advice, let's get into our best bets and look back at what we said for this previous week.
I don't know that we said it in our live show, but you kind of hit at it. This is not betting advice.
Well, and you're going to see in this obviously, in the game reactions, we go back over what we choose. I'm going to get mine out quick and make it hopefully as painless as possible. I had Dawson Knox as an anytime touchdown score. Obviously, he got hurt, even though he did score a touchdown and it got called back.
I mean, it was holding.
It was holding. Called back to touchdown for him. And then Ryan Tannehill, I had him his longest rush over 10.5 yards. I wasn't able to see the read option. Had it been 11 yards back, maybe he still could have scored.
He got tackled.
Could not have scored it. So that one, not able to cash either. I came out empty-handed, which puts me at 2-6.
Man, that's kind of rough.
It is rough.
Because this does allow me to take a lead, because one of the ones that I threw out was Josh Allen over 288.5 passing yards. And just to look here right quick, he had 353 passing yards. So, hey, I will take that. Now, this next one, we kind of need some clarification on. Because for kickers, when they kick the extra point, technically that is points for them, correct?
Right.
Okay, so if that is the case, when I said Randy Bullock over 6.5 kicking points, that means the extra points factor in, correct?
Well, did it cash out?
I don't know. I actually forgot to bet on this one before the game. Look, I was trying to get some work done before leaving to head up to Nashville. We got up to Nashville. I was trying to take in the atmosphere.
If he got it with extra points, then that does count.
Okay, because he did kick 2 field goals, which put him at 6. And we know Henry scored 3 touchdowns. Tannehill scored 1. So, I'm going to say that he hit it. So, that puts me up to 4-6.
4-4.
Or 4-4.
4-4.
Because
I've got 2 right, lost 6. You've got 4 right, lost 4.
Okay, I was counting my attempts.
Which keeps you...
gets me back to 500.
Gets you back to 500, puts you in the lead, and gives us our first double cash of the season.
Double cash, is that what we're going to be calling it?
That's what we're going to call it. That's the first double cash of the season. So that's best bets. I mean, hopefully I can come back in the game preview video for the Chiefs. It's going to be a long road to coming back.
I'm hoping to extend that. And I do want to throw this out there. I know we're still kind of in our best bets, but if I don't put this in here, my wife is going to kill me. So I would prefer to stay alive. Bold predictions. Yours didn't come true.
Well, I said it was going to be over 65 points. They hit 65, so it's about as close as you can get.
But. Right, without it hitting. I said Tannehill was going to have 4 total touchdowns. He had 1, so that was nowhere close. Drake said Henry was going to have 190 yards. Allen threw for over 400. Didn't hit that. Spencer said that the Bills were going to keep Henry under 100 yards rushing. That did not hit. But my wife, Carrie, said that the Titans were going to sack Josh Allen 2 times. We counted that as a bold prediction because he had only been sacked 5 times all year. They got to him 3 times.
They got to him 3 times, which...
So, that evens her up.
It does.
So, I had to give her credit for that right quick.
And she can come and, let's see, I think last time we gave away the Steve McNair, she can come and claim her Frank Wycheck bobblehead. And
look, just because the bobbleheads freak you out does not mean you can be giving my bobbleheads
away. We'll continue giving away the collection. Make sure you put in a bold prediction for the next game for your chance to win. I think next week will be the number 99, Jarrell Casey.
Items on the table are not for sale or giveaway.
So let's now move into the rest of the game. And this is where it really got interesting. Which, by the way, I want to throw out a little bit of a mishap that you had just a few minutes ago. Going into halftime, it was 20-17, so it was just a 3-point game.
I did say that.
20-10.
I thought I said 20-17.
Which kind of changes the narrative there a little bit. Coming out, the Bills get the ball. And
I was pretty sure I said 20-17.
Well, you can roll it back after we upload the podcast. So now 20-17, Bills get the ball coming out of halftime. They have a drive, a pretty long drive, honestly, at that. But the Titans are able to stall them out at the 34-yard line. And Bass kicks a 54-yarder. And honestly, if you're the Titans, you are really, really thinking your defense here. Because 23-17 is definitely manageable at this point.
Yes, very much so.
You've been able to get Henry moving now. And, I mean, with that being said, 23-17 just – doesn't seem like anything at all. So the Titans come out in their next drive and take it from here.
So in the Titans' next drive, they are so A.J. Brown got – I mean, he was involved a little bit in the first half, I believe.
Not near as much as the second half.
No, second half was where A.J. Brown really thrived, and we almost seen Derrick Henry break another one. We really did. And if it hadn't have been for Micah Hyde deciding to step in and take the punishment down the field, Derrick Henry lowered his shoulder and ran him over. And I do want to throw out, we did get to see another Derrick Henry stiff arm on a Bills player. I can't remember if it was first or second half, but another Bills player may end up on a flag. Don't know for sure. And the Titans basically drive down the field and are able to get Derrick Henry his second rushing touchdown on the day.
Yeah, and he just, again, another example, he had a great game. And if he's able to continue this, this is, I mean, it definitely warrants saying that he needs to be in the MVP conversation because he, I believe, is probably the best player in football right now. If you just take a look at it, he's just single-handedly, in some cases, moving this offense along and helping this team come out with a win.
And I was going to get into that a little bit later about him being in the MVP combo. Sorry, I've been a little scattered because something that we missed in the first half, we do have to jump back to it. Julio Jones, I know you did not get to see this, but Tannehill in the and this was when the Titans were able to get up to 10 points off of a field goal. Tannehill rolls out to his right. He's looking down the field. Julio Jones is down there. And Tannehill throws up a prayer to him. There was some pass interference on the defense, but the ball bounced off of the Buffalo player's helmet. And Julio Jones does not give up on the play, tracks the ball in the air after it bounces off the Bills helmet, and is able to make an insane catch along the sidelines to move the Titans down even further. But really, if Tannehill could have got everything under this ball and put it out in front of Jones, he may have had his first touchdown on the season. Should have been, you know, Well, forget Seattle right now, but did want to jump back to that, so you can take it back over now.
So, I mean, at this point, Tennessee Titans are now leading 24-23. The Bills are able to go down and score. I can't exactly remember who scored that one.
Let's see. It was...
This is the one where Sweeney did score.
Yes.
Which is, I believe, where Dawson Knox should have had his touchdown. Ends up getting called back. Also hurts his hand on the same possession. And then they run a little bit of the Buffalo special. They're able to run the trick play on the two-point conversion and get a Dawson Knox to Josh Allen pass for the two-point conversion out of the hurt hand, I believe.
I'm just going to tell you, watching that play in person, because it was down on at the end zone where we sat at, I was following the whole play, and then I look over and I see Josh Allen sitting over there wide open. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, you have got, please drop it. Please drop it. And they didn't drop it, and Buffalo fans were going crazy. I'm sitting here talking to Drake because Drake's like, man, this is helping out my fantasy team. I'm like, shut up about your fantasy team. I don't care. It would have been huge if the Titans could have stopped them there. Like, come on now. Who are you for, your fantasy team or the Titans to win?
And well, apparently you can be for both. So,
but, yeah, that play call was very well executed by them. And I think another thing we missed was the lateral that the Titans tried.
Yeah, but I didn't want to get into that too much.
Well, do you know how awesome it would have been if we could have pulled that off again against the Bills? You know Vrabel has been working on that all week long.
Yeah, I mean,
leading up to this game. Like, he was, I want to do it to him again. But didn't work out. But getting into the Titans' next drive, they are able to go down. The drive kind of gets stalled out. They kick a field goal and make it Buffalo 31, Titans 27. And getting down to like five, or let's see, I can't remember exactly how long. It was at the end of the third quarter, or right at the start of the fourth quarter when they ended up kicking that field goal. I think 9 minutes left.
And I'm just going to say I'm over the drive-by-drive at this point, because everything at this point essentially leads up to the fact that Derrick Henry scores another touchdown and just continues to show why he's the greatest player in the NFL at this point in time. Well, and
the reason I wasn't skipping over that drive is because the drive before Henry's final touchdown, like Tennessee's drive before that, they're getting down towards our end zone. So I'm taking my phone out and I'm like, all right, yeah, I'm fixing to be recording this, get some good, you know, videos for the podcast and YouTube video. And there was like a false start on the Titans. Then they threw it short of the line a couple times. I'm like, okay, I'm done. So when it comes time, they get back down there and Derrick Henry gets his final touchdown run. I'm sitting here like, should I pull my phone out and try and video? No, the last couple times I've done that, it's hasn't went well for the Titans. I don't want to jinx it. And sure enough, Derrick Henry gets in. I'm like, damn it, I should have been recording so I could have had this touchdown.
Well, luckily you kept it put up so that the Titans were able to go up 34-31.
And I mean, three of them things on the day Derrick Henry.
The hat trick. Honestly, he's at 10 on the season, and there's no argument at this point against the fact that he is in the most valuable player conversation.
And again, we're going to hit on that more after we finish talking about the game.
But then, I mean, all things essentially lead up to the fact that the Buffalo Bills put a decent drive together. Mike Vrabel's not using any of those timeouts. I'm not sure if those carry over into the next week or not. But
I think he did end up using one after
No, the Bills were the ones that used that timeout, because I specifically remember the fact that I was...
Timeout by Tennessee with 22 seconds left, and well, then the Bills took one.
At 40 seconds is when the Bills took their first one, and I thought that that should have been a Tennessee Titans timeout, because you...
Well, Vrabel is essentially trusting his defense to get a stop.
And he did.
Or at least hold him to a field goal.
And so we get down to a third and we'll call it long play, where Josh Allen obviously doesn't see anything. He takes off, and he's able to make a pretty athletic play to almost get the first down.
Almost, but it's so good to have Amani Hooker back.
Yeah, and get it to fourth and, I'd say, less than a yard.
Oh, yeah, it was like fourth and a half yard.
And luckily, Josh Allen didn't have the right cleats on Monday night or something, because
I'm not just going to put it on him slipping. Jeffrey Simmons is just a man.
Yeah, Simmons made a great play.
I think even if Allen hadn't have slipped, Simmons had him stopped, because from what I was hearing, it wasn't even close. Again, this is down at the opposite side, and it may have even been you that said he wasn't even close.
He definitely was not even close. But that essentially ends the game. Titans take it. They kneel and take down what was the best team in the NFL, in my opinion. Still a great team and potentially still the best team in the NFL. Because, as we know, one loss doesn't define you. This is a Titans team that gave up 7 sacks to the New York Jets and lost, and then comes back 2 weeks later and beats the Buffalo Bills. These are two of the top teams here.
And really, Buffalo almost had, we didn't even hit on this, they had a kickoff return.
Yeah.
That was called back for a hold. And really, they had even missed a block in the back. There was another drive where Borders should have had an interception. And I am going to go back and finish watching the condensed version of this game, because several people who were watching it on TV said that Janoris Jenkins actually decided to play defense for once, but he did it against Borders and kept him from getting the interception.
Well, Borders still should have ended up catching that ball, in my honest opinion.
But, like you said, we've gotten through the end of the game. Now, got to talk about Derrick Henry. NFL, y'all need to get your heads out of your asses. This is not a quarterback award. This is supposed to be for the person that is the most valuable player. And Derrick Henry is showing why that is him. Going up against the Bills' number one ranked rushing defense, a defense that has not allowed a running back to go for over 100 yards on them this season, Derrick Henry has 20 carries for 143 yards, averaging 7.2 yards per carry, and 3 touchdowns. In a primetime game against another MVP candidate in Josh Allen. I mean, they've been putting him up there. He outshined him. It's time to put respect on his name and legit put him in that conversation. Because on the season now, do you have his stats for how many rushing yards he has?
I don't, not on me.
I believe it's 783.
That sounds about right. I know he's up. I know he's up in the high 700s, and then obviously 10 touchdowns. So he's certainly on pace now to break the record and to just put up an astronomical number of touchdowns.
He's on pace for over 2,200 rush yards, and he is on pace for 28 touchdowns, which would tie LaDainian Tomlinson's record that he holds. So, I mean, how are you not putting this guy in the conversation?
17 games.
Okay, even if...
No, I'm on your side. Because if you take Derek... I'm just saying, I mean, you know, you were a little bit speechless when something was said about, you know, an argument against it. So I was testing you there.
Getting my argument back.
My only argument for this is if you take Derrick Henry off of this team, they are probably next to nothing offensively.
I'll tell you what, if you take Henry off of this team, more than likely they are not sitting here at 4-2.
No, absolutely not. You're probably looking at more of a 1-2 win team right now without Derrick Henry. And that's just the honest truth, because Ryan Tannehill is a quarterback that it's becoming more and more apparent to me. He relies on Derrick Henry's success. And when Derrick Henry is stopped, Ryan Tannehill is not an elite quarterback.
I can't argue that this year. you know, the past couple of years, I could make a case where Henry has been slowed down or stopped and Tannehill has helped get the team to a win. But if you are talking about the overall picture, we need Derrick Henry. And we talked about this before with our favorite Titans players ever. And I said, I believe it was before last year, you know, Keith Bullock was my favorite. And you asked me a question of when does Derrick Henry make it into that top five? Well, I'm going to tell you, Derrick Henry has not only entered that top five, Derrick Henry is officially my favorite Titans player ever.
That's it.
I mean, can you even argue that he's not yours?
I mean, I honestly think that we said this on the live show before the game. He's the best. He's the best Titans player of all time. I think you can go ahead and give him that. And you know, 7, 8, possibly. That's just a number I'm throwing out there. I don't know how accurate that is. Years from now, you're going to see him in a gold jacket, and that's all there is to it.
I can't argue. I think he will end up with that gold jacket. I mean, he's putting it together. Now, he just needs – I mean, he can completely seal the deal if he leads the Titans to a Super Bowl and wins it and gets Super Bowl MVP.
I agree. Yeah, 100%. And so, that's all that I've got to say on it. I mean, I think that he's absolutely the story of this game. I mean, we essentially started with him talking about his long touchdown, ended with him talking about the fact that he is, at this point in the season, the MVP, and he is currently, you were watching history, sealing his fate to get that gold jacket.
Oh, yeah. And, again, he done this against the number one rushing defense in the league. Now he faces, this next week, the 27th ranked rush defense for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yep, and that's going to definitely be an interesting one because after this Bills game, I mean, that one looks as winnable as ever.
It does. We talked about the Titans needing to get one of the next two, really. We thought it would probably be the Chiefs game. I think you picked the Bills to win this past week.
I did.
I said I had to go with my heart. I went with the Titans, was right on that. Was pretty close on the score prediction, too. I believe I said 35-33.
Yeah.
But Titans have to figure something out at cornerback. Because all the weapons the Chiefs have, us being down corners, that's not good.
No, it's definitely not. As far as I'm concerned, for all of that and more on the Kansas City Chiefs game, make sure that you tune in to next week's – or the game preview for next week, which will be coming up here in just a couple of days. Be looking for that and turn on the post notifications and all of that stuff so that you know when it's out.
Yeah, I don't have anything else.
And that's all. Hope you guys enjoyed. Thanks for listening. This has been Titans Time, and as always, Titan Up.